You ready for the word this morning? Let's go before the Lord in a little bit and let's just pray in the spirit a little bit. Ola barakashida barakare. Brotodo matahashidi babarakara. Dre emabara de emabara duro. Bro omabahasidi. Ye amapa ne manoko ho ho baharea. Dre nedekoshidi babarakare. Let ashida babakasidi ye de. And why are you so surprised? Why do you think the world would suddenly quit and lay down and just let you go? Why would you think the world would just say, oh, we were wrong, we back off, have it your way? When has the world ever done that? When has the devil ever just left you alone? Only when you defeat him so soundly that he has to go and lick his wounds. But I'll guarantee you, the devil will be back. Because he comes against the word of God. He comes against my word, declares God. But he shall not have my word, for my word is going to outlive him and outlast everything else that you know and see. For my word will endure forever throughout all times. So therefore, stand on my word and let my word be the one that guides you and directs you. And put your assurance and your confidence in my word, declares God, because it is the only thing that will endure. I told you you're going into the promised land. I told you you're going to take the mountains of the devil, of the world, and you're going to take those away from him. And you say, oh, do you mean we have to fight? Yes, declares God. For when Israel entered into the promised land, that's when war broke out. For 40 years they didn't have war. For 40 years I provided for them. For 40 years they lived in security and comfort, except that everyone who didn't believe died. They passed away. And a new generation rose up. And I have raised up a new generation, declares God. It's not one of age, it's one of faith. For I've declared it to be a faith generation. A faith generation that will not take defeat laying down, that will not just let go because the times have gotten serious. The times have always been serious, declares God. But now my people have arisen, and now my people are saying, we will not be denied. And they're going to Ai, and they're going to Jericho, and they're going to the other cities, and they are tearing down the walls, and they are removing obstacles, and they are defeating the enemy in every way and every place. And the devil hasn't realized it yet, but oh, he's living in fear. He is quaking in his boots for fear of what is about ready to be unleashed on the earth. And you're the generation that's going to see it come to pass. You're the ones who are going to rise up, who are going to take the sword in your hand and understand what David meant when he says, the Lord has prepared my hands for war. For this is a warring generation. It is a faith generation, and it will fight a warfare of faith to overcome all the enemy. And you shall prevail. For as the enemy goes about bragging and boasting, he's going to fail in this place and in that place. And his policies and his dreams are going to be a visible failure to all the world, to where the world says, we cannot depend on the ways of the world. We cannot depend on the world system, on the deep state. We cannot depend on them, but we can depend on God. Because they're going to look at you and say, how come you're always winning? They're going to look at you and say, how come you're always so full of joy? It's because I am your strength, declares God. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you keep my joy, your strength will be refreshed moment by moment, declares God. For this is the year of entrance. This is the year when you come into the things that you've heard about, the things that have been prophesied, the things that have gone on. You're going to begin to enter into those prophecies, declares God. And you're going to see those things come to pass. And yes, it will be war. And yes, you will have to fight for them. Oh, but rejoice, for I've already given you the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise you, Almighty God. We give you praise, God. We give you thanksgiving, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, God. You always lead us in triumph, God. You always lead us in triumph. This is your word. This is your spirit, God. This is who you are, Father. that we are the winners, we are the victors, we are the overcomers, we are the world overcomers, for greater is he who is in us than he that's in the world. God, we give you praise, we give you honor, Father, for that which you have bestowed upon your people, that we are the we are the church. We are the government of this earth. We are representatives of the kingdom of God in the earth, God. And God, we give you praise. Father, we receive this responsibility with humbleness, with humility, that you have desired to set your church to be in charge of the earth. God, we step out in faith in the name of Jesus that every tongue will cease that is in opposition to you, and every knee shall bow to the kingdom and the glory of God. We thank you, God, for the spirit of life, the spirit of liberty that has been and is continuing to be poured out in the earth today. God, we praise you for that spirit of liberty which is Christ in us, the hope of glory, Father, and we praise you and thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, God is good, isn't he? Praise you, God. One person said, God is seldom early, but he's never late. Well, I believe he's early because he knows what's going to happen before it happens. We just aren't always in his time, and we don't always understand how God's doing it, but he's doing it. He gave us his word. He said, in the Old Testament, he said, my glory shall be poured out over all the earth. My glory. Not the glory of men, not the wisdom of men, but my glory will be poured out over all the earth. Well, that was a long time ago. And he said, well, I haven't seen it. We've seen bits of it. We've seen parts of it. But it doesn't change the word of God. Someone was saying, I was listening the other day, someone said that, we've got to be sure that this move starts in heaven. And he said, everything starts in heaven. Every good thing, every gift, good gift comes down from heaven, from the Father of lights who is above. It all comes in heaven. But he says, the thing is, we've got to get in line with it. Because God has lots of ideas that haven't come to pass yet. But his word is forever, and it will come to pass. Amen. It will come to pass. It can be delayed, but it'll come to pass. Glory, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. We are a people of faith. Year of entrance. I like that. That just thrills me every time I look at it. That's part of what we'll be talking about tonight. In our evening church, but the word of the Lord from November the 1st. Oh, man, it's an awesome word. Glory be to God. Well, again, are you ready for the word this morning? Let's start out with our favorite Bible verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. I want to say in every corner of the earth, in every deep state, in every tiny state, in every shallow state. I mean, it doesn't matter where it is. In every place, he is using his people to diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge. Hallelujah. We're talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and I didn't know how long it was going to take us to go through this. This is week 5 on the Sermon on the Mount. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't preach as long as I do? Actually, he did, because he kept them there all day. He didn't let them go home. Nobody wanted to leave. Amen? Nobody wanted to leave. He's busy preaching and teaching, and you know, we can barely read it through. And these people stayed there all day long to hear him preach and to be around him, be close to him. Don't you wish the church had that kind of fervor today? What things would happen in the church if we were as hungry today for God as they were when Jesus walked the earth? And there are some. There's some. And there's places where they're hungry for the word of God. Amen. Now, when we go through the Sermon on the Mount, and I've been saying this, but you're going to see this today. But the usual approach to looking at this is by the moral teachings of Jesus Christ. And so we break it down by subject. And Jesus is now talking about this. And then suddenly, for no known reason, he just starts talking about this other thing. And then he switches again and goes to this other topic. And we don't know why he's going there either, but well it's God. So we just take it as it comes. And, you know, and people, but Jesus had a message in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, there's the obvious message, and then there's the hidden message. There's the thing that you can pick out, and we love to diagram sentences, and we love diagrams, and we love plans, and all this kind of stuff. And so we go through and we break it down to verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. Jesus didn't talk in verses. The Bible was not written in verses. There's no punctuation. So you can literally go in the Greek, and just like sometimes when I preach, you just flow. And, you know, in the words of the Lord, even when we're writing those up, they say, well, where do I put the punctuation? It's like God doesn't have punctuation. It's all a word. It's all a thought. And it just runs forever because he doesn't have time to take a breath. He doesn't have time to, well, here's a period, so I've finished that thought. No, the next thought is a continuation of the last thought. And we see that in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus, in this message, is taking his Jewish audience on a journey from the law to faith in Jesus Christ. And I say that to faith in Jesus Christ because he is drawing on them, you've got to trust me. Now, here he is talking to the Jews. You know, and they say, well, he's a prophet, he's a teacher, he's all these neat things, he's a healer, miracle worker, but he's trying to get them to see, but I am Yahweh, I am God. And you will get nowhere if you continue to live by the letter of the law of your performance and don't have faith in me. So Jesus is moving them just like he's moving us. We've got to move from legalism, from professionalism, to where we just flat out trust God. And say, well, what does that look like? It means you trust God. It means you don't question, you don't doubt, you don't, well, I wonder what God's up to today. It's like he's up to the same thing he's always been up to. Salvation, healing, bringing the kingdom of heaven on the earth. Amen? See, as believers, whether you're Jewish or Christian, the Bible says we are to live by faith. It doesn't say, well, live by the letter of the law. You know, a lot of people say, well, but God gave us the Torah. We'll get to that in a minute. Habakkuk 2:4 says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him. In other words, if you're dealing with pride, you're not right. Okay, moving on. But the just shall live by his faith. Now, this is Old Testament. The righteous shall live by his faith. The righteous man, we get proud because look at what I've done. Well, big hoot. You know, a lot of people are doing what you're doing. But they don't get any blessings out of it. They don't get any honor out of it except the honor of men. But he says, but the just, the righteous shall live by faith. And this is Old Testament. The prophets kept telling the Jews that they were to live by faith in Yahweh. Just like Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him as righteousness. See, this is the faith. We are of the faith of Abraham. Nowhere do you find a scripture in the New Testament that we are of the law of Moses. But it does say we are of the faith of Abraham. In other words, our lifestyle is not to be monitored by the letter of the law, but we're to live by faith in God. When God spoke, and sometimes it took Abraham a long time to do it, but Abraham eventually got around to believing. Hopefully we're a little bit quicker. We hear and obey, O Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But Abraham believed and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, Abraham, just to give you a history lesson, believed before the law came through Moses. Just so you know that. It was Abraham. And then they were in captivity for 430 years, and you've got Isaac and Jacob in there going to captivity for 430 years, and then comes Moses and the law. Abraham was before that. Okay, we've got, I'm being a little bit facetious, but you've got to understand, Abraham came before the law. Now, the law is for the ungodly. The law is for the unjust. If you're trying to live your life according to the letter of the law, whether it's biblical law, whether it is the law of your religion, the law of your denomination, the law of your doctrine, if you're trying to live by the law of what other people expect out of you, you just declared yourself to be ungodly. Because the just shall live by faith. What we just read out of Habakkuk 2:4, behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him. You're not upright before God. Because you're trusting in other things other than God. Now, we're getting into the Sermon on the Mount here. I'll get around to it, but I've got to lay this groundwork. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Not going to get in. If you're not better than the scribes and the Pharisees, we said the other week, if you're not better than Billy Graham, you're not better than the Pope, you're not better than Oral Roberts, you're not better than whatever famous figure that you pick out of faith, if you're not better than them, you won't even get into heaven. But then Jesus ups the ante. He says in Matthew 5:48, "Therefore you shall be perfect, mature, righteous, just as your heavenly Father in heaven is perfect." You've got to be like God. If you're not like God, you can't get in. Now, I'm struggling with the Pharisees and the Pharisees and Sadducees and all these people. I'm struggling with them, but now I've got to be just like God, or I can't get in. Aren't you glad Jesus came to forgive us of our sins so we could enter the presence of the Father through Jesus? Amen. Matthew 5:17, Jesus again said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Now, the prophets have been saying, the just shall live by faith. Abraham believed on God, and it was counted to him as righteous, as though he had never sinned. In other words, he hadn't been born again yet, but yet God treated him as though he had been. He called Abraham a friend of God. I won't go there. Called him a friend of God. Some of us don't even know if we are on conversational terms with God. But if you believe in God, he counts you as a friend. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you have to think about that for a while. So do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came to not to destroy, but to fulfill. And the prophets taught that we should live by faith. Now, faith in what? Faith in the promise. Well, what's the promise? This is a promise. We said this the other week, but this is the promise throughout all the Old Testament. It's the same promise through all the New Testament. As Christians, we say, the promise is the return of Jesus Christ. No, that's not the promise. The promise is, thy will be done in heaven, that is done in heaven, be done on the earth. The promise is, my kingdom is coming. My glory will be poured out in all the earth. Hallelujah. See, this is what he's talking about. This is a promise, the coming of the kingdom of God, and it comes with the Messiah. So when Jesus returns, think about it, you're going to be called away. And someone said, when we're called away, we're going to have a fast supper, a McDonald's meal in heaven, and then we're coming back. So it's not going to be a long time. We're going to, whoosh, and back. Go, come. Go back, come back. And it's going to be, if there is no time, it's going to seem like, but God, we just got here. Why? Because God is not interested in keeping you in heaven. He's interested in having you on the earth. Why? To establish his kingdom in the earth. That is his promise. This is what God is working for. It's not kingdom now. Listen, kingdom now says Jesus is already ruling in the earth. Well, I can give you about a billion reasons why that's not true. But yet God does reign in us. And as he reigns in us, he's able to reign in our sphere of influence and able to put, you know, his fragrance in all the earth through us. His kingdom hasn't come in full, but yet his kingdom is here. Because Jesus preached, the kingdom has come. The kingdom is here. Why? Because the kingdom's in him. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He has the kingdom. It came with him. Hallelujah. And if Christ is in you, guess where the kingdom is? It's in you. But that doesn't mean that everyone receives you or the kingdom or everybody operates by it. But praise God, his kingdom is still among us. Amen. So in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is stressing that we are to live for God, not to be seen by men. I'm going to back that up. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Jesus says, and we looked at this, but we're jumping off here. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. Now he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Where? In heaven. We're talking about spiritual things here. We're not talking about gold and silver. We're not talking about houses and land. We're not talking about natural things that will pass away. We're talking about laying up treasures in heaven. And verse 21, now this is the kicker. Verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your treasure is based on things in the earth, that's where your heart is. If your treasure is with God in heaven and spiritual things, that is your treasure. Now, we closed last week saying this, the unseen treasure that motivates us is whether we fear man or God. That's the ultimate treasure, whether I'm going to, because see, if you fear man, you're going to live by the law. What do you want me to do today? Because whatever you ask, I'll do that, because if I do that, you'll like me, right? And she goes, maybe not so much. I like animals. I like dogs. And I hate when a dog comes up to you, and when it gets up to you, it just falls on its back and puts its legs up. It's like, be a dog. Get up. What do you do? Dogs don't act like this. Dogs are vicious beasts. Dogs are hunters. Dogs are rabid killers. Dogs, I mean, they devour things. And you come up, do you know there's Christians like that? When God has given you authority over every demon in hell, and you come up, it's like, why? Because you're serving man instead of God. You're not being who you are created to be in the Spirit of Christ. You're trying to oh, please accept me. I pet the dogs on the belly. They usually wet themselves, you know. And it's like, I don't want you around. You go someplace else and play. I don't want you to be around me. I don't like that influence. Now, I've been around dogs that are vicious. I remember, I'll just tell this one story. I'm getting of the age. I can tell some stories now. And I went to this one man's house to visit him. And he wasn't home, and he had told me, watch out for my dog. It's vicious. It attacks people. So in order to get to the door, to knock on the door, I had to go through this. It was an open porch, but it was enclosed on three sides and just had a short little opening on the side of it. And I walked in there, and I knocked on the door, and he wasn't there. And I started to turn to go, and I remembered, he's got a dog. And I haven't seen the dog yet. Well, when I stood there, I'm looking around for the dog because I don't want it to sneak up on me. Well, it was only a pint-sized dog. I mean, it was a medium dog. It wasn't a real dog. It was a medium-sized dog. And I saw he was in his bed, and he started coming out of the bed. And the first thought that passed through my mind, if I run as fast as I can to get to the car, he's going to nab me. Dogs can outrun people, okay? Second thought was, I've got authority. Now, by this time, the dog's out of his bed. He's still just kind of walking, big scared. I'm a dog. I'm mean. I'm nasty. And I just walked and says, in the name of Jesus, you get back in your bed. We didn't the first time. I said, in the name of Jesus. All of a sudden, he's still growling. He's backing up. I said, you get back in your bed and you stay there. He backed all the way up into his bed, sat down. See, I had authority. I walked to the car. He never left the porch. You know, I could have gone, oh, it's a bad dog. Oh, my, it's a bad dog. He's going to get me. He's going to eat me. Oh, no. I could walk in my power and authority. If I would have bowed to the dog, he would have bit me. And he would have torn up my good set of pants. No, he would have torn up my leg. He would have done whatever I would allow him to do, he would do to me. But I took authority. See, I was being who I was in Christ. And that dog backed up, and I never saw it after that. Next time I came to the house, the dog was just like, hi. You know, he's all nice. Hallelujah. But see, we're to live by faith. Where your treasure is, there's your heart also. It's the unseen treasure that motivates us, whether we fear man or fear God. To live by the law means that you're living to not get caught. To live by the law means you're trying to not get caught. Living by faith is trusting God, trusting Yahweh, trusting the Creator, trusting the one who can do all things. Amen. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul wrote, says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, which means at one time he lived his whole life to please men. He said, if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But if I'm really committed to Christ, he's telling us, then I'm not going to serve men. Now, he's not going to go out and just say, okay, I'm here in church and I'm not going to do anything you tell me to do. That's not what he's saying. But he said, I am not going to compromise God to meet your approval. Because once I compromise God to meet your approval, you will disregard me because you know I'm not committed to anything. Because if I'm not committed to the God of creation, and you can talk me out of my commitment to him, then I really don't have any commitment. Glory be to God. Say, well, that hurts. The truth sometimes does. But if you're going into battle, if you're preparing to go into war, you can't be wimpy. You can't say to the enemy, I surrender, don't kill me. You know, some of them just want to kill you because they just like to kill things. Like the devil likes to steal, kill, and destroy. Sometimes he just kills people just because, well, I haven't killed anybody for a while. You know, the small children in Chicago and some of these big cities that get gunned down, they're in their bedroom. Every now and then you hear of one sleeping in their bed or doing their homework at their desk, and they get shot and killed with a bullet in the head. How do you do that? Why do you do that? It's the devil. And until the righteous reign, it's going to be that way. So go to Acts chapter 5, 28 and 29. The leaders of the day are talking to the early disciples. He said, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name, in the name of Jesus? And that's what's going around today. Don't teach. You can't meet. You can't assemble. You can't do this. You can't do that. You know, it's like, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Ooh, bad disciples. And intend to bring this man's blood on us. In other words, you're making us guilty that we crucified him. It's like, but you did. Yeah, but we shouldn't feel guilty about it. You know, we did the right thing because that's what the people wanted. Verse 29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Simple answer. We've got to obey God. See, that's the only answer the church can ever have. We've got to obey God rather than men. Now, we're not going to be disobedient. We're not just going to be rowdy. We're not going to just stir up a bunch of stuff. But when everything comes to the conclusion, we've got to obey God rather than men. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Now, we're back in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." For my sake. Jesus is getting the eyes of the Jews off of what men, doing things for service to men, and getting them onto me. Do it for my, when you're persecuted for my sake. There's a lot of people who don't want to be persecuted at all, but definitely not for God's sake. Definitely not, because we don't want to be called a religious nut. Too late, they already think you are. Again, let's go to Matthew 6, 21. I want you to follow me in Scripture here, because now we're going to get deep. Matthew 6, 21, "For where the treasure of your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." 22, "The lamp of the body is the eye." Ooh, the lamp. Now, are these two different subjects? It's the same topic, faith in Jesus Christ. "For where your treasure is, there's your heart also, and your heart ought to be to please God rather than men. The lamp of the body is the eye." What he's saying is you need to keep your eye on your treasure. Now think about this. You protect what you value. If you value your house, if your kid starts a fire in the corner of it, you're going to put it out. What? You value the house. I'm going to get the kids to safety, but you're going to put it out. If you value your spouse, you're going to fight and defend your mate. Amen? Because you value them. If you value God, you're going to fight and defend him. Amen. Now see, this puts a question up to a lot of Christians. What's the treasure of your heart? And for a lot of people, it's my position, it's my income, it's my influence in the community. But I'm telling you, you will have no influence in your community if you do not honor God. Your husband, your wife will not honor you if you will not honor God. Ooh, now you're stepping on toes. Well, what, I want to hear what God has to say about it. Ask him. He'll agree with his word. I think the two of them are one. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, 22. "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" If your eye is good, if your treasure is right, and you're keeping your eye on the treasure of living by faith in God, your whole body will be full of light. But if your treasure is legalism, your treasure is what other people think about you, and you don't treasure the things of God, the light that you think you have is darkness. And your whole body will be full of darkness. Well, I just don't agree with that. I'm sorry, that's what Jesus is telling them. See, we want to walk in the shades of gray. I love God, but I don't have to obey him. I love the church, but, you know, I really don't like what they do. You know, it's like, wait a minute. If you're not going to defend God, do you really love him? Debbie has a real big thing that she's been on ever since we've been married. She said, "I will not talk against Gordon. I will not bring up his faults." I mean, I have one. maybe two. But if you start talking to Debbie, because she'll get in conversations with women, and they're mostly non-church women, you know. And they will sit around and rag on their husbands and just tear them up from one side down the other. Guys do the same thing about their wives. You know, we all do it. And she said, I won't do it. It's like, but do you complain about God when someone brings up your favorite minister? Well, I heard them say the other day. Well, I didn't hear them. I can't say if they said it or not. But I know there's been a lot of pastors that I've had people come to me, well, they said this. Do you agree with that? Well, I don't agree with that, but I don't know if he said it. I've got books in my library about ministers and all the wrong things they said. And if you wait long enough, another book will come out, and it'll give the whole quote. And the guy didn't say what they said he was saying at all. Watch the news media. President Trump said this. Well, what else did he say? You don't need to hear that. Or today it's President-elect Biden said this. Isn't this good? I agree with that, if that's all he said. You know, he's got a call to unity. I like that. We need to walk in unity. We need to reconcile. We need to be healed as a nation. Well, what else has he said? What else has he said? I mean, you can't talk healing and talk about the other and deride people and call them names. Glory to God. See, now, this is a problem. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? See, if you're not willing to put God first place, you're already walking in darkness. And you say, but I've got light. I believe in God. Well, breakthrough news. The devil believes God exists too. So at least your faith is on the same faith as the devil. You both know that God's real. But then hear people say, well, I'm just being honest. You can be honest and still go to hell. You know, you can be honest and still be wrong. Well, it's just how I feel. Well, what's the word of God say? Well, I don't want to get into that because I don't want to get into religious discussions. Oh, the word of God is religious. Oh, we can't go that way. You better go that way. Because Jesus said, my word is truth. My word is life. My word is spirit. Well, whose spirit is it? The word of God is the spirit of God. This is God speaking out of his nature, who he is. But we can get so bogged down, even in the Sermon on the Mount. Well, he said this about this subject and this about that. Jesus, this is why I call them modern day or working parables. He's using real life situations to explain to you what's going on. And if you only stick at the topic, that's all you're going to see. But you've got to see what Jesus is saying. He's building a case, and that's what we're doing today. We're building a case. So if you live with faith in Yahweh, your eye is good. If you live by the law to please men instead of God, your eye is bad. This is the Pharisee problem in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed or pray or fast, therefore, when you do these things, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Well, I go to church too. And? So you go to church. One guy says, you don't become a Christian by walking into a church any more than you become a car by walking into the garage. You know, but there's people, well, I go to church. Well, which church you go to? It's the one down near the corner where the drugstore is. Who's your pastor? Oh, we've got a really good pastor. Who is he? I'll have to get back to you on that because I can't remember his name right now. Debbie says that happened. I'm telling you real stuff. I'm not making this stuff up. It's like, and some people know God the same way. I saw his name in a title the other day. Good. Have you met him? We bumped into each other occasionally. Do you know him? And listen, you hear good Christians, I would never presume to say that I'm born again. Now, I was raised in a church like that because we never had any confidence. I had to listen to a Baptist preacher that joined our denomination to learn about being saved. And my father was my pastor for years. He never talked about being saved. He never talked about the new birth. And I found out he believed in God, but he didn't want to displease people, so he didn't get on controversial subjects. And I'm telling you, talking about being born again and who you are in Jesus Christ in a lot of churches and a lot of denominations is controversial. They will crucify you for things like that. Hallelujah. So we go on. Matthew 6:24, right, this right after 23, if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. What is he talking about? Faith in God or the law. You're either serving men or you're serving God. It's one or the other. It's not both ways. You're doing one or the other. If you're trying to, and we need to be reconcilers, but you need to reconcile people to God, not try to reconcile yourself to get in their good company. That means don't sell out. That means don't give up your core beliefs just so unbelievers will treat you better. Did I say that? Yes, I did. Verse 25, listen, you cannot, he says in verse 24, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is natural things. Mammon is the law. Mammon is how other people act. Mammon is all the worldly stuff. He said, you cannot serve God if you're going to be serving mammon. You've got to choose, because you cannot serve two masters. You'll love the one and hate the other. You'll despise one and love the other. But you can't serve two masters. Listen, we are living in a day and age. We talk about martyrdom, and there are people in foreign countries, in China, and over in the Middle East, and in Africa, that are literally being murdered for their faith in Jesus Christ. And we're scared if certain people find out we go to church. Thank you for your support of God. God is really indebted to you that you are taking such a strong stand. Okay, moving on. Chapter Matthew 6, 25 and 26. I want to read this. I don't have it all in my notes. He says, this is to make the point of what I'm saying. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O man of little faith? See, now we can get into the lilies and Solomon, and we can get into all the kids. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's saying if God can take care of the little birdies, he can take care of you. But you've got to make the decision. I'm going to serve God. Because if you aren't willing to serve God, he's not obligated to meet your needs. We're just cutting to the point. Because Jesus is telling, the whole message of the Sermon on the Mount, you've got to believe on me or you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You've got to come. Jesus said, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except by me. So he can't say, well, you know, I believe that I'm God, and I believe I can teach you a lot about the Father, because Dad and I are real close. But I don't want to put pressure on you. It's like, does Jesus love you? Did he die for you? But he doesn't want to embarrass you. We got to get some stinking thinking going. We got to get our, understand what our treasure is, and our treasure is not our church attendance pins. Our treasure is our faith in Jesus Christ. And if we lose our faith in Jesus Christ, who are you going to trust? What are you going to believe in next? One of my friends on Facebook put up a question. It wasn't a bad question. The question was, if you didn't believe in God, what would you do? And I responded. I'm the only one of the about 20-some responses that I saw. I'm the only one that responded this way. I said, I would never stop believing in God, because if I stopped believing in God, it would mean I'd have to believe on the devil. And I said, I'm not going there. Now think about that. If you aren't believing in God, your faith is that the devil won't steal too much from you. that the devil won't steal from you. He won't kill you. He won't destroy you. You're putting your faith over in the devil to not do something to you instead of believing God who will do something for you. Amen. Amen. So, is not life more than food? This mammon, this eating, this drinking or clothing, Jesus is not concerned with the physical, because in each case he shows us that God provides for the birds, for the lilies, and the mammon. I mean, think about it. The birds in our area, they've got all kinds of food in the field. They can forage wherever they want to forage. We still put out a bird feeder for them. We just like to see them come in. We like to see pretty birds. And so we chase off the blue jays, but, you know, the other birds and the grackles, we chase them off. But the other birds, we've got a wide variety of birds that come into our feeder, and it's just one feeder. And we do it just because we enjoy them. Now, if we're going to do that for the little birdies, think what God's going to do for you. He's going to meet your needs because he just likes to see you. He likes to see you fluttering around. He likes to see your pretty colors. He likes to he wants to see you. And so he'll just put out treats for you. And there's no trick to it. He just wants to bless you. Amen? So, in verse 26, he says, look at the birds. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they are? I wanted to read, we're running short on time, but I wanted to read 27 through 31 to you. I'll do that. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows. Now, Gentiles, that's an interesting word, the Gentiles. The Gentiles are those who do not have a covenant with God. And he says, the godless, the sinner, those who are separate from God, they chase after mammon. They chase after all the worldly things that God just said, I'll provide for you. He says in 32, after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have, that you need all of these things. Verse 33, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He's still talking about treasure. What's your treasure? What is your eye focused on? What is the things in your heart that you're going to protect? What are the things in your heart you're not going to let go of? Is it faith in God? Is he your treasure, or the things of the world? He's getting down practical right now. He's getting down to where we live right now. Am I trusting the ways of the world? Am I trusting my job more than I am God? Am I trusting my friends more than I am of God? Am I trusting in the natural things of this world? Am I trusting in the political situation more than I am trusting in God? Am I trusting in a vaccine more than I'm trusting in God? Well, if you want to take the vaccine, take it. But you better trust God. Because if you're not trusting God, that vaccine may not help you a bit. I tell people, you got to trust God no matter what else you do. You know, I don't tell, you know, we believe in doctors, but you better trust God. Because there's some doctors out there, if you don't trust God, you're going to die. Glory to God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, God's righteousness. That means a right relationship with the Father and all these things that the Gentiles are seeking after. Listen, he says, I'll add it to you. Icing on the cake, the cherry on the sundae. I'll just add it to you. You seek me, you put me first place, and everything that the world is hungry for, I'll just give it to you. See, the Jews have a covenant with God. Shouldn't those of us who have a covenant with God believe in the God of the covenant? Shouldn't we trust in him since we have a covenant with him? My mother, when she had heart surgery, she was slow to recover, and she's still in there. And she just kind of, my mom was a wimp in some ways, but boy, when you got her faith stirred up, she was a giant. And she's laying in that hospital, and, I don't feel good. And one of the nurses finally said, see that lady walking the hallway? She just had surgery the other day, and she did it without any blood transfusions at all. Mom said, how'd she do that? I said, well, she's a Jehovah Witness, and they don't believe in blood transfusions. Boy, the faith of my mother began to rise up. The faith of Abraham hit her. She jumped up. She said, if a Jehovah Witness can do it, my God can do it too. And she was out of the hospital, I think, the next day. She got up and she started walking. No Jehovah Witness is going to have more faith than she did. You know, sometimes it's good to compare yourself with others and see how far short you fall. So you can stand up. So you can work in faith. Amen. Get that faith stirred up. Hallelujah. Jesus in John chapter 14 verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe in me. Would you do that? Would you dare to do that? To believe on me. Matthew chapter 6, 34 says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I was thinking about that. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, why worry about tomorrow? Because today has all these issues, all these problems. What am I going to do about today? I'm going to die today. I don't need to worry about tomorrow. That's usually how it's preached. Coming at it this way, listen, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Listen, you've got to believe God today. Don't worry about what's going to come tomorrow. If you aren't going to believe God today, it doesn't matter what happens tomorrow, because you're still not going to believe God. You've got to make the decision to believe God, whether it's Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday or Sunday. You've got to make that decision. I'm going to believe God now. I'm going to put my trust in God right now. Because all you can worry about is today. Do I believe God now? Am I believing God right now? This instant, this moment, am I believing God? See, that's enough trouble right there. Whether to trust God for today. This is the key to faith. Matthew 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus is telling the Jews, his audience, he's telling us today. You got to seek me first. You got to seek the kingdom of God, the promise. You've got to seek his manifestation in your life now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't put it off, because God's now, and faith is always now. Let's pray. Father, we put our trust in you. God, we are people of faith, but God, like the man who came to you says, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. God, bring us into that higher level of faith. Bring us, Father, into where we have a constant awareness of who you are, that you are with us, that you will never leave us or forsake us. And God, I pray that we would have that same confidence of our faith in you, that we will always have faith in you, that we will not abandon you, that we will not leave or forsake you, God. But God, we will trust you in every area of life. Father, I pray for those that aren't born again. Lord, that we ask you into our heart. Just say, Jesus, come into me. Make your home in me. Become alive on the inside of me, God. Reveal yourself to me, God, that I would know who you are. Deliver me, heal me, set me free, oh God, of all the things of this world, Father. Because I know you are God. I know you are the one, the Almighty God, the everlasting God, the eternal God. You're the Almighty God. You're the Lord Yahweh. You're the Lord Jehovah. You are my God. And I will not leave you or abandon you. And God, I thank you that as we believe in you, God, you give us all these blessings. Not because of how good we are, but because of your faithfulness that we trust you in every area of our life. We thank you, Father. We give you praise and honor, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. And amen. God bless you.